Greetings, everyone. I'm excited to welcome William Wu, CEO at Artis. William, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you here. Let's dive right in. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I studied finance in university. I started my career at McKinsey back when oil prices had fallen from like $150 to $30. And so a lot of my career at McKinsey was around helping companies to restructure and turn around and try to fix up their problems. And then I spent a number of years afterwards at an investment firm called Oak Tree Capital. They're very famous for what's known as special situations investing, i.e. investing when there's big changes in market conditions, big changes in technology, or big changes in regulation. That basically means there's some companies that are really, really well positioned. And if you play your bets right at the right time and then at the right place, you can basically unlock a lot of value in a very short period of time, i.e., you know, a special situation that just wouldn't be possible in normal times. Yeah, so that's that. And then since then, I've been an entrepreneur for 2 years down at Artis. We specialize in human AI models that are built for people. But the core of the business is really around imagery and just being able to create basically any type of photo of anyone in any situation, pose, context, camera style, etc. Yeah, so that's what we do as a business.
Okay, great. Yeah, appreciate that background. So yeah, let's talk a little bit more about Artis. So it sounds like you've been on this journey for about 2 years now with Artis.
Yeah, so roughly around 2 years, yeah.
Okay. And yeah, so tell us a little bit more about the products and services that Artis offers.
And so the core of the business is we've developed this tech, right, that can basically produce any photo of someone super realistically to the point where the photography or the photos that we're actually able to produce, right, is indistinguishable from actual photos. And we've got it to the point where we can basically create any type of photo from a photo that looks like it's been shot in a pro studio to a photo that literally looks like you used your camera selfie to go and take a selfie of yourself. So we can, as long as we have a training data set, we can replicate any type of photo perfectly, right? The reason, you know, we've decided to specialize in this space is because when you're trying to create photos of people, it's actually quite difficult in terms of complexity versus just generally trying to create AI images of general landscape, right? Because you think about the person, right? You've got a lot of different complexities, the fingers, the bone structure, the facial expressions, the way the light shines on your skin, you know, the posture, the camera style, the composition, the camera focal length, et cetera, et cetera. All of those basically mean you've got to basically fine tune it incredible amount of times across so many different factors to basically be able to produce the type of photos that you want. And then using that, we've got both a B2C and B2B business. On the B2C, the business is, we have an app that launched about 3-4 months ago. We call it the world's first AI photographer. And basically how it works is that you upload 15 photos of yourself. We create an AI photo model of you. It takes about an hour. And then after that AI model of you is then created, right? You can then basically type out anything you want. Hey, I want a photo of myself in Paris in a blue dress and white hat at night. And that AI will then spit that photo of you. And so that's pretty incredible. And because the reason why we've done it is because for an average consumer, just think about average user being a young person, millennial, I have an Instagram profile, I have a dating profile, right? And those require images to be updated on those on a regular basis, right? And so for the average young person, having an active social profile is obviously hugely important, right? Sometimes even more important than actually having money, being rich. But it's incredibly difficult to go and take good photos of yourself, right? And the best evidence for that, go on a girl's profile on Tinder and you'll notice that 80% of guys, you know, have just really poor photos. The average user journey, you have to go and, you know, do your hair, you do your makeup, find a photographer, pay them a few hundred dollars, travel somewhere, right? Hopefully it's not crowded. Hopefully it's not rainy. Then you've got to take hundreds of shots across multiple locations, go home and edit all of them. And all that process is incredibly difficult. So we've made it very easy. At this point in time, you can basically create any type of photo of yourself, super realistic photos. They can be pro photos that look like studio quality, or they can be, you know, camera style selfie photos. all of them are made using AI. All of them can be made within a few seconds. And each photo, you know, we essentially sell them at 25 cents each. So yeah, so that's a B2C business. And then we also have a B2B business where we're working with various, you know, dating apps, fashion studios, brands to not only integrate our tech into their app or website, right, but also provide, you know, for different use cases, right? But generally common themes are being able to create photos of yourself, being able to personalize some sort of IP to the user. For example, you know, you love Harry Potter, right? And your son loves Harry Potter. You can now send him a gift of him, a photo album of him next to Harry Potter in Hogwarts, right? As a Christmas gift. And then things such as like try before you buy, right? Is very, very powerful. Like, you know, virtual fitting room has been tried by every single large brand over the course of the last few years, but it's always looked really bad. And using our tech, you can finally get the consumer to actually wear clothing that looks properly fitted, you know, with a single photo upload. Yeah. And then we're also working with not just brands, not just clothing companies, but basically anything you buy, right? So, you know, we're talking to a few car companies, we're talking to a motorbike company, we're talking to a tourism company where you buy plane tickets, right? All those things in the future, right? You should be able to see yourself, you know, riding a motorbike in the Sahara Desert, or, you know, on the beach in Australia before you buy a ticket, or, you know, on a safari in Kenya before you buy that Airbnb experience. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of really great use cases that we're now rolling both B2C and B2B.
Yeah, that's amazing, the use cases. I was going to ask what you just explained, the B2C process and then the B2B side. And then your pricing model, is it purely transactional? Is there any platform fee, or is it just a per image charge?
Yeah, so right now it's just a per image charge on the consumer app, which comes out to about 25 cents per photo. On the B2B, there's a bit, depending on the customer that we're working with, there's a bit more flexibility in terms of business models. But it can be anything from as simple as, you know, X dollars per customer to X dollars per photo to even, you know, licensing and rev share agreements.
Okay. Yeah, pretty amazing, the application. I know I've been actually meaning to try, you know, to update some of my photos as well. So maybe I have to give it a shot here. And so founded about two, so I guess we're in 2024, so founded in 2022. And then do you have a location, or are you all virtual?
Yeah, so we're all virtual. So we don't have a physical office anywhere. 70% of our revenue so far comes from the US, but the team is all online.
Okay. So mostly US-based revenue. And what's your current team size?
Yeah, so we've got about 23, 24 people at this point.
Okay. We're at 24. And anything you want to share around revenue or ARR ranges or revenue ranges?
Yeah, so we started generating revenue four or five months ago, growing pretty quickly. So in December, from an ARR perspective, December, we had an ARR of about $1 million, tripled from November. In January, we actually tripled that again. So we're now at almost $3 million ARR. And February should be a very strong month just because we've just launched our desktop product. So I think February, we should probably be more close around 4 or 5 million AR.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Congrats. That's, you're smashing already 1 million and on your way to 10.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yeah. It's been very exponential growth in the last few months.
Yeah. Yeah. Congrats. That's awesome. So tell us, you know, really interesting, you know, so tell us a little bit about your go-to-market motion, because you've got, you know, B2C, B2B, which are very distinct motions. So tell us, how are you landing, you know, customers on the B2C side and then the B2B?
Yeah, so on the B2C side, we have tried a number of different things. I think what has probably ventured out as being the most reliable source of customer acquisition is paid ads. Now, paid ads, I completely recognize it is very, very tricky for some businesses, especially if the economics don't stack up, just given the cost, the rising cost of that customer acquisition. We've been very fortunate because, you know, the consumers that do pay within our app, they use it a lot. And just to give you a sense, right, our average user generates about 150 photos of themselves per month. So they'll spend about $40 within the app. Our top 5% of user will generate 1,000 photos of themselves per month. So they'll spend like about $200, $230 per month. And then our top 1% of user spends in excess of 4,000 photos of themselves per month. So you literally have someone, probably usually a young female, just spending $1,000 within the month, within that per month. So as a result, our standard metrics, and I had a look at the website metrics. Obviously, SaaS retention ratio is a little bit different from consumer apps, but you know, we have pretty very strong retention ratios for a consumer app, a relatively high average monthly revenue per paying user of $40. That's pretty phenomenal in the photo space. And our customer acquisition cost, we can actually stack it up to the point where we usually break even around the 4 or 5 week mark on each paid customer. Yeah, so that's been our go to market strategy. And because we've had such a relatively low break even, you know, we've been trying to ramp up the ad budget pretty much month on month. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's probably a few things, which is number one, this is a never been seen product before in the consumer app landscape. And so we do benefit from a very strong first mover advantage. Number two, customers haven't seen it before, right? And so the propensity to pay is higher, and there's not really any true competitor out there. And so there's relatively limited alternatives out there for customers right now here today. And so as a result, the metrics look very favorable because, you know, we are probably leading the charge in terms of a completely new segment of the photo space. And then B2B, look, a lot of that is more traditional B2B, right? Yeah. So building a B2B sales force, getting in front of customers. You know, I do think we do benefit slightly given that, you know, AI is probably on the agenda of every single large company at the moment. So in some aspects, it is relatively easy to land conversation. And yeah, and then, but maybe one thing we haven't probably spent time doing is really a lot of the SEO organic stuff. And that's probably a core focus of the business in the next month or two.
Okay. Appreciate that insight. And the usage of your product, is it only through apps or can we go to your website and also use your service?
Yeah, so we have a desktop version that's literally launched yesterday. So starting from, today onwards, you can actually go on our desktop version to use it.
Okay. And because kind of getting to the, you know, app stores, which have sometimes heavy fees, you know, for the revenue flowing through there, you know, does that affect kind of your distribution or the usage of how you get your product out there? Or is that just, hey, we have to pay store fees and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's probably less of, obviously it is a big fee on the app store, but it's probably less of a factor for us just because the market's so big and there's relatively limited competition. And so much of the focus has been more around how do we grow as fast as possible and get to critical mass as fast as possible. And we see desktop more as a, you know, there's a whole wide of customers that are going to be using desktop, but not apps, right? And especially on the bit, you know, more high frequency, bigger users, right? They'll want to use a computer. And so for us, it's a bit more additive than competing right now. You know, that may not be the case as the market matures, but given the market is still in relatively nascent movements, you know, we see them as pretty disparate, right?
Okay.
But, that's something that we'll test in a few weeks.
Yeah. Appreciate that insight. Yeah. Especially with the desktop version launching. So let's talk about your fundraising journey. How much capital have you raised to date?
Yeah. So we've been bootstrapped to date. So we're in the process of fundraising right now. So we're doing our seed round right now. We have a lead investor committed. We actually just announced last week, $6.7 million. We're probably looking to close that off very, very soon. And then at the rate revenue is growing, we'll probably go for Series A in the next 1-2 months.
Okay. So just raising that seed round now and then looking, because based on your growth, looking at a Series A soon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The revenue is growing so fast. And I mean, this is a pretty enormous market, actually. We will probably want to go for a Series A shortly.
Okay. And tell us what that seed round, because you said bootstrapped up until just recently. So what was there a trigger or milestone that you reached to say that we're ready to raise some seed capital?
Yeah, look, I think it was, we spent a lot of time getting the tech right. So we had to get the tech right. And then that obviously incredible amount of work, right? So hats off to our tech team who managed to actually get us to where we are today. Our lead AI guy, he actually didn't leave the house for 4 months. It was pretty incredible. So we had to spend a lot of time on tech and app development. Then we had to actually prove out that people would actually use this app, right? You know, I think there's a bit of skepticism, especially from, I would say, you know, call it if you're a generally an older male, you know, you're just like, oh, well, why would anyone ever want an AI photo of themselves? Right. Type, you know, thinking somewhat with you know, the people that do end up running the VC companies. So proving out that there's good usage demand, you know, proving out there's good revenue metrics. And then, yeah, this one really came out more as an inbound. And at that time, I think it made a lot of sense for us to go and work with them. And so, yeah, and so we then decided to work with them and then actually start the process off. And I think in the last few weeks, we've got quite a lot of traction to the on the revenue side, to the point where I think it then probably as a next step is, you know, we would want to conduct a more formal Series A process.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. And, you know, of course, ton of AI apps launching out there. So any, you know, to share with the founder community who are working in kind of the AI space right now, any fundraising lessons learned, you know, specific to say the AI space, you know, that you just went through, you know, that, you know, maybe different from just a normal, you know, SaaS fundraising round, because right, AI is so hot, a lot of apps out there. So anything that founders should be aware of if they're also in the AI space and looking to raise?
Yeah. So I think there are different types of AI investors, right? So, you know, AI is a pretty broad term, and, you know, there's anything from AI infrastructure to AI investors only do LM models to, you know, we're in the more in the consumer AI space. Then there's a lot of like B2B AI and so forth, right? What I've found is like, given the market and where it is, you know, obviously AI is probably the better place to be out of any industry right now, but still, you know, the investors are hesitant, right? You know, no one really wants to be the lead. And I think you've really got to find someone who has that experience in your sector, who has that conviction, who has that experience within the industry that can really go into that and dive into it and have a strong conviction. Without that, you know, you're going to be playing a long game, I think, with a lot of investors. And, you know, we've had our own fair share of, you know, talking to investors that were probably not our investment focus, or too early, or not enough traction. And so I think being able to be very focused, and also at the same time, make sure very extensive when you're going through that process, I think is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
And then look, I think it is, the other thing I would also say is you've just got to get to proof of traction as soon as possible, right? It's almost a prerequisite. And so being able to generate revenue, I think, will be quite important.
Yeah. And obviously you've got some traction, so your Series A will be really interesting. And William, at this stage of your business, do you have a favorite number or metric that you're focused on to guide the business?
Yeah, there's a few key metrics we look at. Obviously, overall revenue per month is important. I'm looking very closely at the average revenue per user, and that's very linked to the number of photos they generate. But it's also linked to a number of things, such as the pricing model in which you launch the you know, whether it's a monthly versus annual subscription, whether you're doing like country by country different differential pricing, whether you're offering a free trial or not. Those are all super important metrics that we track. Yeah, and then your standard, you know, obviously looking at retention, looking at the paid ads cost, looking at the organic percentage. I know definitely I've seen on your website a few more advanced metrics that we probably aren't tracking, but I think the core ones we are definitely tracking.
Okay, great. Yeah, those are some good ones to track. And William, really appreciate your time today. So what's coming up next on the horizon for Artis?
Yeah, look, I think we're now in the right space. So my main focus of this business right now is to scale up as quickly as we can. And so, yeah, it's going to be a multi-pronged exercise, but I want to scale this up. I think there's a lot of value in what we're doing. And yeah, and then I think, you know, I think this is a huge market, or huge markets that are being disrupted. Photography is a huge market. Dating is a huge market. Fashion and brands and tourism, all huge markets. I think AI will reshape a lot of the customer experience and the level of personalization and the ability to actually create photos of yourself. And, you know, we want to be at the forefront of all that. So, you know, a lot of work ahead, but, you know, I think we've done a tremendous job to date, and we just have to keep it up.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, really exciting just with that growth. So William, again, appreciate your sharing your experience and insight today. If listeners would like to learn more about RTs, where should we send them online?
Yeah, so we have our website. So it's artis.ai, artisse.ai. And then feel free to shoot in a query. I still monitor every single inbound that comes in.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. So love that. All right. Well, if you'd like to learn more about William's journey and Artis, check out artis.ai. And William, appreciate your time and sharing your experiences today.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure.
Thanks.